Some say juvenile. I say genius. Leave me alone. Matt, I'm getting ready for graduation. Matt!
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood,
the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Clearly a conversation. Obsessed.
Incredible. I love it as a monologue, though.
Yeah, thank you.
Put it in your bio.
Putting that theater degree to use post-grad.
Neve, Ava, how are we this week?
Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I am sleepy. But you know what? We ball. And I just had some great cookies. And I got to come home early from work today. And it was fabulous. I got to come home at 4, but I stopped at the grocery store. I don't know why I'm detailing my whole day, but I'm sleepy. And I have been trying to start Succession for the past 2 weeks, and I haven't had time, but that might be an activity for tonight. So we'll see. We'll see. But overall, sleepy. How are you, Neve?
I'm good. I'm also kind of tired. I'm eating my dinner, but I'm doing good. I'm also kind of tired. I have just been working day in and day out. I'm so sorry, listeners. It's just really what I'm doing all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't have much more. It's my birthday tomorrow. I mean, yes, no one's listening to this. It will have been the day prior. But so exciting. I'm working.
Yep, I did that on my birthday too.
Oh, that's embarrassing. I think that I'm gonna go out to like a little brunch though with some of my friends here, which is exciting. And I don't plan on telling anyone at my place of employment that it's my birthday, but my sister is working with me tomorrow.
Oh no.
And she will also be in the restaurant. So I have a feeling that she will tell someone, at least one person, that it is my birthday. And I might get a free brownie out of it, which is great because the brownies where I work hit. They are delicious. So I guess manifesting if everyone finds out it's my birthday, I at least get a free brownie. So good though. How are you, Brayden?
I'm fine. Well, I don't know. Going through it, but like just mostly also because just working. But I'm blonde again. So
Brayden is back, everyone.
As of 30 seconds before we started recording, as I was watching the titular film of this episode, I was bleaching my hair once again.
Period.
You know, and I'm now looking at myself on the Zoom screen and like painfully aware of how I've been inside a movie theater my entire summer.
Oh my God.
Hey, listen, I've been at an outdoor like beach patio on the water restaurant, and I'm sure we're at the same level of tan right now.
Oh, I am too. I have been inside a like performance theater the whole time. So don't worry. None of us are getting tan, as it were.
I should be getting tan though, and I just don't. I literally have to put
that's on like that's like a genetic problem for you though.
You too.
I have to put on sunscreen every day before work.
Rip.
No other person who works there has to do that.
I just thank the ceiling. I'm like, thanks. Speaking of movies, real quick. Have people seen Barbie yet? Because I have.
I also have.
I haven't yet. I was supposed to go tonight, and then we had to move the date till Wednesday. But I might just, I was like, do I go see it tomorrow at like midnight? Like I get out of work pretty late, but I might just go see it tomorrow at midnight by myself.
That would Happy be lit. That would be lit.
It's, I will be going again.
I will too.
Like at least one more time.
Okay, then maybe I will, because I was supposed to go tonight with some of my coworkers, but then
I mean, with my coworkers, really good experience actually.
The our manager, her kids had like some, I don't know, someone with her kids. And she was like, can we move these tickets to Wednesday? And it was at like our local movie theater. So obviously the like, they're like friends, like the people who own the movie theater and the person who owns this business, like are friends because it's the smallest town in the world. So they were like, yeah, you can move it to Wednesday. We really don't care at all. So now I have to wait again, but maybe I'll just go see it tomorrow by myself after work.
See it twice. It's, I had a great time.
It's so good.
So good.
So good. Anyways, the movie we're here to talk about this week, about another blonde woman, Hilary Duff. This week's episode is on the one, the only Lizzie McGuire movie, released in 2003, directed by Jim Fall, written by Susan Estelle Jansen, Ed Dechter, and John J. Strauss, based on Lizzie McGuire by Terry Minsky.
All right, credentials. I don't know why at first I thought you were going with Hillary Clinton, and I was going to say no. But yeah, you were accurate, so I didn't have to cut in.
I'm glad I didn't make that mistake that you were ready for me to make.
It wasn't brain making a mistake. It wasn't you. I promise it's not. It's strictly business.
I don't know why that was phrased in a way that really just geeked me there.
All right. I want to do something different for our summary. And I think we do a 30-second recap, but each of us takes 10 seconds and we relay it.
Oh my God, that's stressful.
Oh my God.
I didn't broach this idea before we started recording. So you're getting live reactions from
me. Yeah. Wait, oh my God. I kind of love it, but that's also stressful.
When do we decide when to popcorn it?
I was going
to
say, what order?
I will say every 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. I see.
So... we'll do what order? We'll do the order we're on my screen. So I guess Neve, me, Ava.
Damn.
Damn.
I feel like, Neve, you have the easiest part.
Yeah, the beginning rocks.
I know, but I feel like I have to get through so much of it.
You don't.
We'll see. Ava has the hardest part, actually, but she also just finished it 2 seconds before.
That's true. Yeah. So. Best in.
No, I feel like the end of the movie. It's kind of like that performance is long.
No, but like if we do badly, you have a lot to cover. Anyways, this is the first time we're trying this. Let's see what happens. I'll just use a stopwatch and I'll just call out next.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
I think so.
All right. Go.
Okay, Lizzie McGuire is graduating junior high and she fucks it up. She drops a curtain. Everyone's embarrassed. She goes to Rome, though, with her friend Gordo, and they go to a fountain. And at that fountain...
Next. All right. So she then goes to... She's in Rome and she meets a guy and he's like, oh, you're like this girl who's also a famous singer. And they fall in love and then they hatch a plot. Ava...
You have to say next. Okay. Anyway, so she pretends to be her and then she meets this really cunty, amazing fashion designer and then goes on for her. And then Isabel's like, he can't sing, but she can. And then.
All right. That's it. Wow. 10 seconds.
But that was like not that bad considering how little time that was. Like that was like most of the movie.
That is
they sing a duet together. There's some fireworks. Yay.
Brayden, you hesitated and wasted so many seconds.
No, I didn't go consecutive 10 seconds. I started the 10 seconds when each of us started speaking. So I didn't time my transition of calling out. So we did all get 10 seconds exactly.
I was like breathing heavily over here. Like I...
No, that was... We'll never do that again.
Okay, good.
Or maybe we'll do like 20 seconds.
We live and we learn.
Movies are a lot. Movies are long.
I'm sure it was entertaining. But God, at what cost, right?
So... What were our thoughts, our initial thoughts about this movie? Like, what are our prior knowledge? I feel like we should have Ava go first because she watched... Actually, let's do Ava last because she watched this for the first time. So, like, Neve, do you want to tell us your experience prior with this movie and, like, your background?
Lizzie McGuire was my fucking girl. I loved that show. Loved, loved, loved that show. I went as far as to buy books. Do you remember when they used to make books of TV episodes to like encourage kids to read?
Oh, absolutely. I own so many Sweet Life.
I own so many Lizzie McGuire. There's like a garbage bag filled with Lizzie McGuire books because I loved that show so much. I thought she was so cool. I thought, what else? I read the books a lot, and I also watched the show. I had no idea that this movie had a theatrical release, which I find hilarious. Why did they release this in theaters?
It was released the same day as X2.
Like, that's hilarious. Okay. I had no idea this had a theatrical release. I thought it was a straight.
The Barbie of 2003.
Yeah.
I did not see it in theaters as I would have been two. So I watched it when it was reran on television. Yeah. Loved Lizzie. Loved Miranda. Devastated that she was not really in this film. I think.
You would love Miranda.
Oh, she was everything.
Was Miranda the one who was supposed to be class president and got Ebola?
No.
No. She's like Lizzie's best friend who's like on a vacation. On a vacay. It's like a Mexico vacation or something.
Oh, that's funny.
But like, she's not punk, but she's like a little more edgy than
she's Lizzie. Alt. Love her.
Of course.
Love her.
Okay, of course.
Yeah.
Brayden, what's your experience?
I also have a very similar experience. Like, Lizzie McGuire was like one of the first TV shows I remember watching.
Yeah, because, that and That's So Raven were like the two that like...
Yes, it's Lizzie McGuire, That's So Raven, and Kim Possible are like the OGs. And then like Sweet Life, Wizards of Waverly Place, those come a little later.
Yeah, we were like really, really young.
Yeah. No, Lizzie McGuire initially aired the year we were born.
That's crazy.
And then this movie came out when we were two.
I also really loved Kim Possible. This Kim Age Possible. Of Disney was really good.
It was. It was iconic. It was. I also didn't have Disney Channel growing up. So like I was prime age position for when Lizzie McGuire aired on like ABC Family mm-hmm. Mornings, because they like a couple years after is where like then that's where they would air Lizzie McGuire, and then later on Sweet Life, Wizards of Waverly Place, like by that era, Wizards, Good Luck Charlie, Sweet Life on Deck, that stuff, they didn't have a block on ABC anymore.
Yeah,
which was sad, which is a downfall. But like That's So Raven, all of that era was all on like ABC.
And oh, I can remember it distinctly.
The Lilo and Stitch show.
Yes. Oh my god, it was so good. So good.
Icons all around. And then this movie is just like, I've seen this movie so many fucking times. Like, I'm not even shitting you. I love this movie. It's frankly not good.
Okay, I love it. Who says movies need to be good?
But no, exactly, that's what I was gonna say.
No, okay, I will tell the story till the day I die. The latest Ant-Man movie isn't a good movie, but I had the time of my life in that theater, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, fair enough. This movie is so comforting to me. Like, all DCOMs are like comforting in this way. This one particularly, I sat down to watch it and I went, why is this 2 hours?
I know.
So I know. Much happens in this film.
And also nothing. It's all like, it's so much happens, I couldn't tell you what to cut out.
It's but also the plot such a is funny actually DCOM.
Really simple.
It's such a funny DCOM because, like, not that any of them really like connected to their original shows, but this one was really like Lizzie McGuire was not about jet setting to Rome and becoming, like, that is not at all what the television show was about. So this was literally the finale. Took creative liberties when creating a plot for this, because I was like, this is not at all what the, like, I thought it was gonna, I, like, obviously when I was six, I had no expectations, but like when I would think about it now, it's like, oh, you would expect the Lizzie McGuire in a movie to be like a high school, like, something more along the lines of High School Musical without the songs. And then it just really is.
No, not at all.
It actually has songs.
Oh, we will talk about the soundtrack to this film.
Yeah, I didn't know that's where that song came from.
Oh, What Dreams Are Made Of?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to it. We'll get to her when we go through the summary. Okay. Ava, what was it like witnessing this film from 2003 for the first time in 2023, 20 years witnessing. Later?
Listen, crazy. Because I have a pretty shameful past with Disney and Nick shows of the era that I probably should have watched them at. Where I was not allowed to watch Disney Channel for a long time as a kid. And so I was very immersed in like the PBS, like the classic, like, you know. And so I finally got into Disney Channel and like iCarly and Victorious and such during the Wizards of Waverly Place era. So like anything before that, missed. Totally and completely missed. And like I barely even watched Suite Life. There are a lot of things that I barely even watched, even when I finally got to that place. But like, there was an era that I settled into, like The Wizards of Waverly Place, like Good Luck Charlie, like I could tell you everything about those shows. Before that, no, though, absolutely no idea. And I also hadn't, and still haven't seen a lot of DCOMs.
You still haven't seen Camp Rock.
I haven't seen Camp Rock. No, I have not. And like, okay, let me paint this picture for you. For a long, long time, my favorite DCOM, before I realized that, okay, well, first question. Do 90-minute holiday specials count as DCOMs?
Well, are you talking about Good Luck, Charlie, It's Christmas? Yes. That is a DCOM.
That's a DCOM. Yes!
Best day of my life. Okay, so that's my favorite DCOM. But other than that, before I realized that that could count as one, my favorite DCOM was the one and only terrible, terrible film, one of the worst DCOMs of all time, Frenemies. That is how few DCOMs I have seen in my life. Yeah.
Frenemies?
Yes.
I mean, I just want to say, I love Camp Rock. Had a great time watching it. Don't have expectations. Camp Rock is like a really, really bad movie.
Oh, it's pretty terrible. And the stuff that happened behind the scenes is crazy.
It was like actually such a like weird, bad movie. And like definitely this one was better than like in like levels of like plot. And like, I mean, and this one didn't even make that much sense. And like Camp Rock really, love Camp Rock though.
I liked this movie.
Real Business Me.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know that song. I know that song because a girl at my elementary school sang it for a talent show. And I said, what is that? Where is it from? but yeah, like I quite literally hadn't seen the entirety of all three High School Musical movies until my best friend from home sat me down during winter break our freshman year of college and said, you are not leaving my house until you finish all three of these films. And to her, I am grateful. But like, there's so much I don't know. Like, I never watched Lizzie McGuire. Like, I had never seen this movie. I barely knew, like, I forgot that the animation style was a thing until I was watching this movie. And I was like, oh, I love this. This is a really cool premise. I liked this movie. Hilary Duff serves. Like, she so serves. I also did not know that Miss Alex Borstein herself was in it, and I'm obsessed with her. I am a Marvelous Mrs. Maisel stan till I die, and she serves every single drop of molecular. I'm just talking now. She's incredible on that show. And she served in this movie as well. And she was one of my favorite characters. But my favorite character in the whole movie. Can you guys guess?
Isabella?
No.
Oh.
Minor role.
Oh, the fucking fashion designer.
Yes. Franca. I'm obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with her. She's so slay. I want to be her. I want to be her. I love her. Yeah. So that was my favorite. And I thought the plot was very easy to follow and very silly. And there were some really fun, silly moments. But I also have some interesting opinions about characters, which we'll get into. But yeah, that was my experience. It was funky.
I also will say I was stanning Miss Angela Ungermeyer.
Yeah. Because she had a point in pretty much everything she did.
As someone, she was so funny.
She was funny.
She's so funny.
Probably the most like solid part of this movie, besides Hilary Duff, is really a fantastic actress.
She does well.
And I would say that holds up to this day, even though How I Met Your Father is not well written. I think she is a great actor.
I did not even watch that.
I only watched like the first two episodes. It's not worth watching. Which is sad because I love How I Met Your Mother and I love Hilary Duff.
Yeah.
I had like just started How I Met Your Mother and then they took it off at Netflix and I did not care enough to find out.
What happened to me too?
It's good.
Went but somewhere.
It's not like worth like searching.
I want to watch it because I got like 3 seasons in and loved it.
But. No, it's so good. It's so funny. I still make a lot of jokes from How I Met Your Mother that are like just for myself.
Please.
Yeah. Do we want to talk through the movie chronologically? Each take like a paragraph of this Wikipedia summary because. That's what we've been doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go.
I'll start. Lizzie McGuire prepares for her junior high graduation with two of her closest friends, Gordo and Miranda. I'm also like paraphrasing some of it because I'm not reading this word for word.
Yeah.
Miranda has chosen to skip the graduation ceremony in favor of a trip to Mexico City, which is fair.
Which to Mexico.
I mean...
Yeah, it's also a middle school graduation.
Yeah, this is not that deep.
No. I looked at her and I said, no way. Yeah. No way are you supposed to be 13.
Yeah. It's- How old is Hilary Duff in this movie?
Probably 19 or 20.
She was born in 1987. So she's 16.
Okay, not 13, though.
Not 13.
No.
But yeah, no, she was not a 13-year-old. There was, like, no way in hell that she's in middle school.
Yeah.
She also reads older than she is. Anyway, continue.
She does. She reads very mature. And then she goes on stage and she trips and is teased by her brother and his... and her former best friend Kate Sanders. After graduation, Lizzie and her classmates embark on a trip to Rome, chaperoned by their future strict high school principal Angela Ungermeyer. The rest of the class chose a trip to a water park instead. What the fuck was this?
That was so funny. I almost included in my recap, and I was like, "That doesn't matter though." But it was so funny, so funny.
Yeah, that was very funny.
Like, why are the options? For their between junior high and high school trip, which first off, why is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
A water park or Rome?
Well, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. This water park was focused on the slides specifically. It was like water slide extravaganza or something. That's a detail I remember.
I feel like, but what else is there at water parks?
I don't.
Aren't they all slides?
That big bucket.
The big bucket, for sure.
I have to interrupt with something that happened the other day because I'm going to forget about it. And it really, so we were on a boardwalk on Friday because we had like a little birthday dinner for me because my mom is going away for the week. Anyways, And while we were walking along this boardwalk, we saw like the splash park that was meant for children. And my mom says, what if we made splash parks for adults? Like happy hour in the splash park. I think she needs to start a business because okay. I would be there every day of the summer. Girl, would catch me there. Clock strikes 3:30 or whatever their happy hour starts. I'm there. Like I'm there every day. So I just have to share that idea. If anyone steals it, my mom came up with it.
So was a splash park just like a water park?
Yeah, like the stuff with the buckets and the, you know.
But like a small, like casual, like you're not going down slides.
Just yeah. Like, you like, wanna, like, put your, like the little wade. Parks that are meant for like clearly like children.
Okay.
Cool. Just like a little wading pool, a little like refreshing spray, but not like the full like event of a water
park. Like let's get in a tube moment.
Gotcha. Yeah. We don't have that time here, so I'm interested.
Love a tube.
I love a tube too.
Lazy River.
Man.
I just keep going round and around.
When you guys come visit, do you want to go to like the janky water park that's near me?
So bad, yes.
Literally.
No, I actually hate water parks.
Okay, fuck you.
In general?
I
love water parks.
They really gross me out.
Oh my God.
Okay, so here's
the thing. Yes, they're gross, but also.
No, listen. As a person who, when I was little, I got pink eye from a pool. I got pink eye from a kiddie pool. Yes, I did. And now I just don't put my head under and I live.
Real, but then like, it's not fun because like the fun part is like the slides and stuff. My bigger problem is kids. Like.
That's fair.
Kids ruin it. If I would go to it, you're right. Your mom is right. An adults only water park. Sounds great, but not in an inappropriate way. Like in a just like no
fun. Like we can drink alcohol and like don't have to worry about these children. Okay. Like when oh my God, when our hotel over spring break had an adults only pool, we were like,
it was incredible.
I also just bleached my hair, so I can't go do a water
park. Green, yeah.
Oh yeah.
You don't want the green look?
I could rock the green look. If I wanted to be green, I could be green.
You could
figure
it
out. I'm not green because I'm what? Not that kind of girl.
Come on.
All right. What happens next in Lizzie McGuire?
I can read it. Their class visits the Trevi Fountain, where Lizzie is approached by an Italian pop star named Paolo Valissari.
Sure.
Who mistakes her for his singing partner, Isabella. Paolo asks Lizzie to meet him at the fountain the next day, and she feigns illness to sneak away. He explains that he and Isabella are booked for the International Music Video Awards, but she left Italy after their partnership breakup. Paolo tells Lizzie that Isabella lip syncs and begs her to pose as Isabella for the ceremony so they won't be fined for canceling. Was confused about that. Lizzie reluctantly agrees, but soon begins to enjoy the experience and falls for Paolo. Why would they be fined?
The plot is real loose.
The cover, so like I think it's supposed to be like he's covering it up because, you know, eventually later on in the movie he wants to like embarrass Isabella, quote unquote. However, it's just like a week. Like Lizzie is supposed to be 13 in this, so clearly like she's not, you know, gonna be like, that doesn't make sense, but it also doesn't make sense. Why would they be fined for canceling a performance?
I mean, like, yeah, like a booking fee, I don't know. Sure, whatever, fine, I guess. We also, I can't get over the fact, I'm going to mention this now. This is like Vertigo for kids. Like, if we know the classic film Vertigo is basically about a man who falls in love with a woman and then she dies. And or like kind of not even follow is like obsessed with a woman and then she dies and then like is obsessed with an identical woman. That is a terrible explanation of Vertigo, which is a really famous movie that I am butchering the summary of right now. But like, that's fine. Go watch it. It's a Hitchcock film. So, but the like two people that are like they look the same. I mean, it's done everywhere, but like Kim Novak in Vertigo is just like real famous version of this. I just think that's funny.
It was just a funny choice generally to like have like her have a famous Italian pop star twin.
Yeah.
Who thought of that for a kid's decomp? I don't know.
You know, it certainly gave us an iconic ending, and that's all any of us care about.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Okay. Lizzie continues being fake ill to prepare for the ceremony, but wait, is that the one that you just read? No. But Kate quickly figures out her secret. To Lizzie's surprise, Kate agrees to help her, and the two become friendly again, which was never really followed up on, but that's fine. Meanwhile, Miss Ungermeyer interrogates the students to learn who has been seeking out. Gordo takes the blame, which I was like, who does that, respectfully, and is sent back home as punishment. Lizzie, okay, I love my friends. Okay, I'm not doing that for anyone. I'm in Rome, bitch.
Okay, well, this man,
Gordo,
is so bad.
Yeah, he's actually
horrendous. The entire series.
Yeah,
and like, I wish I could judge Gordo. I'm a Gordo. You know, like, I be making the craziest decisions when I'm into someone. I will like bend over backwards. I will do like, I'm so put together in so many parts of my life.
Listeners, you have no idea the context to what this man is saying on this podcast. Me and Ava, we really do. And if we had the time to get into it and it wouldn't reveal a lot of people's personal details,
we would.
Y'all would be shocked.
Oh yeah, like we don't have to delve into like Brayden's love life on our Percy Jackson podcast here and now.
But that we're talking about the Lizzie McGuire movie on.
Right.
But it is for sure storied.
Oh yeah.
And the most recent development is I was real covered in bug bites from still covered in bug bites from my last crazy
thing. Hike.
I went on a hike. That made it sound crazier than it was. I just went on a hike, and there's been a lot of bugs out because it's been humid. But like, there
he showed me his arm, and I was like, "Oh my god, did you walk into poison oak?" No,
just no bug bites.
That's wild. I guess I can't really judge Gordo either. We're all a little messy in that way, huh? But it's endearing. I don't know.
Y'all stay safe. I think I'm good. No, I guess I would. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't do that specifically, but I can't judge him in general, I guess.
No, the
no, thing, Gordo's the best. Love him.
Yeah.
The thing here that's sad is that Gordo is so down bad that he gets sent home from Rome so that the girl he's in love with can go on a date with a different guy.
Yeah.
And I will say, I would never stoop that low.
No.
Down horrendous. My poor boy.
Friend-zoned.
Sorry.
Also, if anyone, like, Gordo is just, like, they're all the epitome of 2000s, but Gordo is, like, a 2000s middle school boy.
Yeah.
Like, if any listener doesn't know what he looks like, please just Google a picture. Yeah. Like, you would look at a picture of that costuming on a person and be like, yeah,
I know exactly
for the main character.
Yep, I see it.
This was such an archetype forever.
Yeah.
Archetype because like we've all seen this happen in real life.
Yes.
But this archetype was everywhere for about 10 years, from about 2001 to about 2011. Every man in a female-led movie was this man.
Yep, I agree. I totally agree. She's everything.
He's just Ken.
Just Gordo. Yeah.
And she's an international pop star. And he's just Gordo.
Which is so true. Because like he seems like a sweetie, but like I think she's too good for him and I think they should just stay friends. I am saying that though, based off of only having seen the movie once. I haven't seen the whole series. Don't come for me.
frankly, I haven't watched Lizzie McGuire in long enough that I can't tell you how I feel about the progression of Gordo and Lizzie's relationship. But like in this movie, I was like, they're sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, let me continue. Gordo takes the blame and is sent back home as punishment. Lizzie is shocked when she learns from Kate that Gordo sacrificed himself to protect her. Sacrifice himself sounds dramatic. Back home, Matt browses the internet and finds Italian gossip sites with pictures of Lizzie as Isabella. When he tells his parents, the family flies to Rome. That's crazy.
You know, no, that's not crazy. Because you see your daughter on gossip sites online, you've got to figure out what's happening.
That's true. I think it's just crazy that they just like, it amazes me that like, I don't know, a trip to Europe is like years in advance planned, you know, type situation. And the idea that they were just like, we're going, like, I get it.
Because I mean, it wasn't a vacation. They weren't like planning. No. They just had to be there.
No, I know. But like, it's just still crazy to me in terms of like all the logistics. But this isn't a movie in which we are invited to think about the logistics, so I understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of suspension of disbelief in this.
Yeah.
At the airport, that's it. My brain just stopped being able to read for 2 seconds. At the airport, Gordo meets the real Isabella, who's upset because someone's impersonating her, which makes sense. Then she and Gordo realize that Paolo is planning to embarrass Lizzie and make it look like he's embarrassing Isabella because he can't sing, and that's the whole thing. So Gordo and Isabella rush to the war to stop him. When McGuire, you calling her last name only in this sentence of the Wikipedia summary,
it says when the McGuires.
Oh, okay. I thought that's my that's on me, you know.
Please.
Miss Ungermeyer learns that Lizzie's missing because she was really trying hard, and I respect that, but she did flop here.
Yeah.
Gordo's roommate reveals that she's performing at the International Music Video Awards. Lizzie's family and class also rush to the ceremony. How did they get there? Like, there's a lot of suspension of disbelief again. And Gordo and Isabella find Lizzie and warn her. And then she's like, no. But then she's like, yes.
Yep.
I love how bad he is at singing.
He was like impressively bad.
Like impressively. And like, I think it takes a lot of like, to sound like cinematically bad, not just like regular bad, is like impressive. Nice. Yeah.
Where did that come from? Did that come from my computer?
Roll you. The green border.
Oh, my messages are open in the back. I didn't notice. Okay. Sorry. Please. My bad. Am I reading next?
Yes.
Okay. During the performance, Isabella and Gordo expose Paolo, who is actually the one who lip syncs, by turning on his microphone, revealing his real mediocre, is the word they use on Wikipedia, but it's bad. Bad singing voice. Upset, Paolo runs off stage, where his displeased manager resigns and gets ambushed outside by paparazzi. This was like high tension moment. Isabella introduces Lizzie to the crowd, and the two of them sing What Dreams Are Made Of. Icons, legends, stars.
Yeah.
Icons, legends, stars. Let's talk about this soundtrack.
It's so good. I mean, it's like, no, it isn't. But like...
No, but it is.
I like didn't know that that's where this song came from.
Yes. It's not just a Trisha Paytas cover.
No, listen. I knew it was Lizzie McGuire. I just thought she like sang it in like the show or something. I didn't know they came from the movie.
No, I also just love the Trisha Paytas cover. It's so funny.
It is funny.
It goes like real hard for no reason.
Yeah.
And she's like so like it's such so clearly her voice in a way that is just incredible. And it makes the song sound so different. Not to go back to Trisha Paytas again this week. the also the tide is high being like the opening.
Yeah.
Incredible song.
Yeah. It's so, oh, I've already said it a bunch, but it's just such a 2000s, like in a good way, because there are moments of 2000s music that you're like, oh, but like this was the good side of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then let's not forget that Taylor Dane covers Supermodel, the RuPaul song.
Yep.
Oh my God. Oh,
thank you for bringing that up. I forgot about that.
I was gagged. Like I think I was stunned into silence.
It was everything.
That is one of my favorite scenes in cinema.
Finally, a movie deserving of the title of film.
Finally, a good fucking movie, right? No. Yeah, I mean, it made a mark for sure.
And that's the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Well, it's not done.
Oh, you're right. It's not done.
When Isabella leaves the stage, Lizzie finishes the song solo, displaying a newfound confidence. Later, they all celebrated the hotel's after party where Miss Ungermeyer rescinds Gordo's punishment. Although Lizzie's parents tell her she is grounded for the rest of the summer, they are still proud of her. Lizzie, that's funny. Lizzie and Gordo sneak away from the party to go up to the roof where they promise to never let things change between them. The two kiss, that is having things change, and then rejoin the party before they get into real trouble or more trouble. As the film ends with Firework spelling the end, the animated Lizzie does a parody of Tinkerbell, winking at the audience and closing the series. Good for her. Let me say though, I love Lizzie's mother. She's awesome.
She slays. She's great.
Yeah,
she's great throughout the whole thing.
I love her
character throughout the whole thing, and her dad was also funny.
I like her dad too. Yeah, he just didn't talk as much, but I got good vibes.
Yeah.
She is like a working girl. Like, I'm trying to find her name. She is Haley Todd. She's just like someone who was like in a lot of stuff throughout the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Just like working actress.
Yeah. Good for her. Good for
her. She was also on an episode of Sabrina, which is what I recognized her from. This time watching it, I just made that connection. I also just love, that was a big show, like 90s show that I love, is Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
With Melissa Joan Hart.
I just want to say how funny it is that Gordo's actor's name is Adam Lamberg. We already have Lambert.
No, we already have.
And it just looks like you misspelled it.
That's his real name, though.
To me, it looks like a typo. And I think that speaks to the amount of fame. And I just think it speaks to how well Adam Lambert has done. No dig on Mr. Lamberg.
You know, congratulations, Adam Lamberg.
Adam Lamberg has not been in anything since 2008.
And that's okay, because
he only did two things after this movie.
And that's okay, because listen, not a dig on him, just a congrats to Mr. Lambert with the T. T as in tiger.
Oh my God. His Wikipedia page. His Wikipedia page says not to be confused with Adam Lambert or Adam Lambert snowboarder.
Okay, that's what I'm fucking saying.
It is like a very close call for sure.
Right. And it just looks like a typo. Oh, yawn, sorry.
But poor him.
Yeah.
I would like to take this moment to once again state how successful Lizzie McGuire herself, Hilary Duff, went on to be.
She's a queen. I love her.
Because she had a thriving music career, for one.
Yeah.
And she's like stayed working, acting. I don't know who watches her shows.
But they're on.
But they're always on.
And yeah. I think people are like watching them. I just don't think it's like our audience.
I just don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think it matters.
No.
No. Because someone is.
Yeah. Someone is.
She's also currently an entrepreneur.
That's sick.
She's a fashion designer.
Work.
She stays working. They were supposed to revive Lizzie McGuire and Disney Plus. That didn't happen.
But I'm reading that now. Yeah.
And now she's on How I Met Your Father, which I guess someone's watching.
Get your life. You know, someone somewhere. That's their favorite show.
That, you know, fair enough. It got a second season, so.
Okay.
Clearly enough people watched it.
Right. Work.
I will also say, she should have been a musical star. Her music was incredible. And I would like her to release music again.
So what I'm hearing is jukebox musical Hillary Duff.
Hillary Duff.
Please.
I mean, like her first album that came out around the time of this movie, before this movie, but 2003, has like icons. So Yesterday, Come Clean.
So Yesterday. Oh.
So Yesterday. I'm just a bird that's already flown away.
Oh. Great song.
And then she like kept making music. Hits after hit, but not really. But like, she was around. Let's talk about Sparks.
Okay, yeah, I hadn't heard it before Brayden texted our group chat and said everyone.
That can't be true. That must be a lie.
Yeah, you've heard it.
This song, no. Sparks, was, I swear to you,
no,
the only song on the radio in 2015.
Yeah, and my mother didn't let me. Well, okay, so my mom, like, and I respect her for this, it was always her channel on the radio if she was the one driving. And so every single time I got in the car, 70s on 7, 80s on 8. That's it. That's it. And so I didn't know any
you
of
that. You had no reference point for the.
I'm not hearing any sound.
Oh no, that's so funny. But the whistle. I can't make it and any other sound besides whistling. And I guess the whistling is not being picked up by the mic, which makes sense, but.
Like, I don't think so. I think it was new to me, but I like it.
Pause this podcast here. Go listen to Sparks by Hillary Duff. I'm not the first gay person to say this, that song is incredible. She reinvented music with Sparks.
I'm not the first gay person to say.
No, every once in a while, some gay guy on Twitter is like, justice for Sparks. But I've also been that gay guy.
Please.
Because let me tell you, I was thinking about this movie during my entire shift today. And then I went, Hillary Duff Sparks. And then I was whistling my entire time at work today, this song, and then humming What Dreams Are Made Of.
I love it.
Your coworkers were like, damn, he's in a moment right now.
I was like, wow, he really likes Hillary Duff.
Exactly.
She was mother for that.
She is mother. I actually firmly believe that she is mother.
So where would we rank this movie on the Motherquake scale? I don't think it's particularly mother until the end.
Mm.
Then it's real slay.
Yeah.
I would give it like, I don't know what the scale, is like more metaphorical than it is like numerical. And I'd say like middle.
Yeah, work.
I middle. Agree.
Yeah, mid-slay.
Mid-slay.
Who do you want to give our offerings for this movie?
Franca herself, the fashion designer. She served so much kind and I love her.
Miranda, where are you? Clearly it was like the actress like couldn't make the filming and like that's fine, but also miss her.
Fair.
Miss Ungermeyer, Alex Borstein.
Yes.
Was an icon for this.
Yeah. I love Alex Borstein.
Incredible work. Incredible work. And a working actress. Still working. On to big things.
Yeah.
Alex Borstein is actually having a fantastic moment right now.
She is.
She's been around forever, too.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
She was most recently, besides in Miss Maisel, in The Bad Guys, which Ava and I did see last summer when we ran out of movies to see.
Yes, we did. We went to see it in the theaters.
It was fun.
Yeah, I had a great time. I thought it was a good movie. We saw in broad daylight, though. It was hilarious.
Real. She's also, like, most famously Lois on Family Guy.
Yeah. See, but I've just... I don't
know. Family Guy is not really a target for our demographic, or probably the demographic of this podcast, but... You know, now you know.
Now you know.
Ain't that just...
Now you know. Look at her Wikipedia, because Alex Borstein, man, so many things on her Wikipedia.
Yeah, I love her.
Who are we voting off?
I don't know.
Like, I guess Paolo. Yeah, I'll
everyone
do that,
else
actually.
Is fine. Everyone else is kind of slay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to agree. You can change your hair and you can change
your clothes.
That's just not, sorry.
That's... Another great decom.
It's just been in my head all day, ever since I was taking it.
Oh, I think I'm going to watch that tonight. Now that you're, what a great
the Hannah Montana.
Yes.
Haven't seen that one either.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
All right. Now, after our little break of this very loosely, tangentially related movie.
It's in Rome.
It's in Rome. Next week, we will be starting The Dark Prophecy, and we'll be reading...
Chapters 1-4.
Make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Return to Camp on every platform that matters. We also have a coffee account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Have a great week.